Okay, tonight's year is Lili Nishmas. My mother, Yehudis Bas Shlomo, whose fifth yahrzeit is tonight. I like quoting that Rav Elia Guttmacher in the Sefer Sukkah Shalom, which is a Sefer he wrote about the different things a person could do to affect a tikkun for the neshama of the departed. So he writes in the first siman of the Sefer that some people say Kaddish Daven for Nava, that's level one. Better than doing that is to dedicate a certain mitzvah in the memory of the deceased. Better than that is to engage in Talmud Torah. Better than that is to engage in Talmud Torah Barabim. The best thing he says is to engage in Talmud Torah Barabim between Mincha Maariv, to be Mechaber the day and the night the Talmud Torah, so that we're not doing now, but at least level four, to engage in Talmud Torah Barabim, and this should be Le'ili Nishmasa. In the presidential Bekiyas program we're holding now in the end of Hashol, the beginning of Mekabel. So the starting point for this year, this evening, is the Gemara in Daf Kuf Beis that discusses the obligations of a socher. The Gemara there says, on top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, Hamaske Baisa Chaveiro El Socher Lasas Mezuzah. So it's the responsibility of the socher to provide the mezuzah. Because Shehu Yotzei Lo Yelena Biyado, the Yotzei. The person is not permitted if he is leaving a rental or leaving a house and someone else is moving in, he's not permitted to take the mezuzah with him. However, if a person is leaving a house, a dwelling, and he knows that the next person to move in is going to be a nochri, then he should remove the mezuzos. Okay. So what's the issue with the nochri moving into the building? Why do you have to remove the mezuzos in that situation? So the Shita Mikabes has quotes from the Rimi Lanil the following. The Rimi Lanil writes that when it comes to a guy, the concern is Shema Yidlena Hagai, the Yinag Ba Minhag Bizayin. The concern is that the guy is going to take the mezuzah down. He won't know what it is. You have this apartment buildings, even if you leave it to painters. Painters come in between tenants, they paint, they don't know the mezuzahs, they take it down, they might throw it out. They don't know what they're doing. So you can't leave it up for a guy. The guy's not going to know what a mezuzah is, and he's going to be knowing Minhag Bizayin. That's number one, pragmatic consideration. Inami shema ha'oreach sheyira sham mezuzah yikaneis sham sheyasavir sheyisrael darsham v'yargu oyalilu lavalilus. Or someone's going to walk by the house, he's going to see a mezuzah on the door, he's going to say, oh, there's a Jew there, he's going to knock on the door and ask for nice lodgings, and then the guy will kill him. So out of that consideration, you shouldn't leave a mezuzah for goyim. It might lead to bad results. That's like the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos in Daf Mem Gimel, when it comes to tzitzis, says that you're not allowed to sell a talis mitzayetzes to a neino Yehudi. You can't sell a talis with tzitzis on a tagoy. Why not? It's a Gemara two lashanos. Lashon number one is Mishim Zona, and lashon number two is Shema Yidlua Imo Baderach V'Yargenu. You're going to hang it up there, and people are going to see this guy's wearing tzitzis. They're going to think he's a nice firm Jew, and he's going to end up killing you. So that's the same consideration that the Rimi Lanil quotes in our context, that you can't leave a mezuzah for a guy because people might think if you see mezuzah on the house that it's a Jewish house and there may be bad results. This same nimuk of the Rimi Lanil is also reflected in the Tshuvas Maril. And the Tshuvas Maril is quoted Allah in the Raman Shulchan Aruch. The Maril in Tshuvas HaChadosh of Simen Kuf Kaf Gimel was asked the following shaila. There is a certain hegemon who requested of his Jewish subjects to provide him with a mezuzah. He wanted to put a mezuzah on his fortress. And the Jews were worried that if they would refuse his request, there might be bad consequences for them. The Moshe, the Hegemon, wouldn't take kindly to it. So that was the shaila of the Esther of the Maril. Under these circumstances, if the non-Jewish Moshe Ha'ir, a non-Jewish hegemon, is asking for a mezuzah to use for his own purposes, are you allowed to give him such a mezuzah or not? So the Maril says no. And the Maril has a number of nimukim. Number one, he writes that even if the guy's consideration is one of shmira, the guy wants the protection that's afforded by mezuzah, and he has all the right motivations. But what's going to happen when this guy dies, and then he's going to leave the mezuzah to his yorshim? Then his yorshim are going to be noeg aminag bizayon. So even if you have full confidence that the particular guy in question is asking for the mezuzah, is going to treat it properly, but who knows what's going to happen down the road? And out of that consideration, you shouldn't give it to a guy, even under these circumstances. And then he says, even this guy, That's what he says first. Even this guy, who's to say that he's really going to treat the mezuzah properly? He wants the mezuzah for shmira. So what's going to happen when the shmira doesn't work the way he wants it to? So then he'll throw the mezuzah in the garbage, like we're in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. The Asad Lavo, the guy are going to get the mezuzah sukkah, and it's going to be too hot, and they're going to kick it down and run away. So you're going to give them the mezuzah. He thinks that it's going to protect his house. The first minute that someone breaks into his house, he's going to throw the mezuzah away. So we're concerned about him. Even if we're not concerned about him, we're concerned about his children. And then the Maril says the same consideration. The Gemara Menachos, we're concerned that people may be under the impression that this guy's Jewish and maybe he'll kill them.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody says that, I don't know, there's no chiyuv for a guy to
There's definitely no chiyuv, but the question is, we'll see that goyim can fulfill mitzvah sometimes voluntarily. So are you allowed to give him to goy? So the issue here is that you're not even allowed to give him mitzvah.
In terms of taking it down, we would say that you should leave it off since the goy could keep a mitzvah if it weren't for these considerations.
If it weren't for these considerations, then you could leave it if you were assured about its proper care.
You'd be chayiv to leave it?
You wouldn't be chayiv, necessarily. But minach minol of yada sounds like you have to, not just that you're allowed to. At least that's how the Rishonim take it. Yeah.
And Maril, is the chushish for the negative repercussions of the Hegmon taking down the people?
In this tshuva, he's not. In the way the Ramah paskins the Maril alacha, but not all the way. And the Ramah allows for the possibility to be mekel in situations of eva. The Ramah's in Siman by Hilchos Mezuzah, Reit Sadi Beisif Beis in Yerodea. So the Ramah writes, Ovikachavim Shabike Shayinu Lo Mezuzah Verosa Lekova Bepischo Aser Linolo. So that's the Maril, you're not allowed to give it to him. V'nira Li, so Adkan the Maril. Then the Ramah says, V'nira Li, D'mikol Mokom B'mokom D'ikol Nechash Mishim Eva V'sheyera Mishim Zel Yisrael Shari. So the Ramah is more makel than Maril. The Maril says, even Mokom Eva, nothing to talk about. The Ramah says, no, Nira Li, that B'mokom Eva, maybe there is what to talk about, that the grounds to be makel, if there are other extenuating circumstances, but strictly speaking, it would be prohibited to give a guy a mezuzah. There's a Radvaz quoted in the Radvaz on the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, which may or may not be saying something similar to the Rimi Lunil. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Halacha Yud. Benoach sheratza lasos mitzvah mishar mitzvahs. Atar v'yava nanju, who wants to perform mitzvos voluntarily. Kedei l'kabel schar. He thinks he's going to get schar. He wants to get schar for kiyum mitzvos. So even though he has no obligation to do so, eimonin osel lasos hilchas. So we don't prevent a nochri who wants to perform mitzvos voluntarily from performing them. But obviously there are some things that we don't allow him to do. We'll see. Can't goyish shavas es chayim mitzvos aser b'tamat Torah. But aside from those exceptions, if you have a run-of-the-mill mitzvah that a guy wants to perform voluntarily, we allow him to perform the mitzvah voluntarily. So the Radvaz writes over there, Umikal Mokom, b'mitzvah shetzvich in Kedusha V'tara. Mitzvahs that require some element of Kedusha V'tara, kigon, tefillin, sefer Torah, mezuzah. The three examples of mitzvahs that require Kedusha V'tara are tefillin, sefer Torah, mezuzah, ani chochech lahachmir, shelo yanicho osam lasa. So the Radvaz thinks he should be machmir not to allow a goy to perform the mitzvahs of tefillin, mezuzah, and sefer Torah voluntarily. So what's he talking about? I understand tefillin and mezuzah presumably means putting on tefillin and affixing a mezuzah to your door. What does it mean to allow the nachri to perform the mitzvah sefer Torah? Ksiva sefer Torah. Obviously, you can't do it. That's it's not a barchiv. It's not ein b'chir. You can't write a sefer Torah to be kosher. So, I'm sorry? If a guy appointed a Yisraeli...
Yeah, you could accomplish it. According to Rubishon, you accomplish it by
Yibet. That's the Kedusha Torah that he needs.
No, it's a mitzvah.
Let's leave aside sefer Torah for a second. So had he just said, mitzvah said you require Kedusha V'tara, like tefillin and mezuzah, so I might have rather advised to mean that we're concerned. He's not going to be noheg, he may be noheg minag bizayah, and he may not treat it properly, like the Rimi Lanil's reasoning. So that's what I could have read. I could read Kedusha V'tara, tefillin and mezuzah. So having that consideration, I'm not saying anything new. Yeah?
Doesn't the Rosh say you can paint the Torah by buying his farm?
Okay.
So then he shouldn't paint his farm because it's the end of go to learn by Torah because the end being
there. That's what he means by Sefer Torah? That's a bit of a stretch.
Same thing.
Right, okay. Maybe, right. So, Rosh Hashanah said to me once that maybe he means that you shouldn't give him Hagul Galila. You shouldn't give him Otsah. He shouldn't be involved. Anything that has an element of Kedusha V'Tara, there's a steer between Kedusha V'Tara and Eino Yehudi in this regard. That you can't have him have any connection. And this is a Karth Kedusha. If that's what he's saying, then that's different than the Rima Lino. It's not just a pragmatic consideration of being Noi Minog Mizoya, but there's something more fundamental that he can't involve himself in Mitzvahs that involve Kedusha V'Tara. So this is relevant, Halacha L'maaseh, if you have a candidate for Gerus who's interested in learning the Mitzvahs, so he'll be able to perform them properly once he's Megayer, what do we allow him to do? So do you allow him to put on a mezuzah on his door, for example? Do you allow him to wear tefillin? So far, if you take the Radvaz at face value, so it sounds like these are things that Kedusha V'Tara you can't have, let him have involvement in. According to the Rimi Lanil's reasoning, Minag Bizayon, so maybe there's less of a reason of Minag Bizayon where we know that he's on the right path, or maybe not. There is an interesting Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva in Siman Lamed Vav quotes Yerushalmi, and he thinks Yerushalmi sounds like there's a right from the Yerushalmi that he actually could give a mezuzah to a Nochri under certain circumstances. Yerushalmi is in the beginning of Peah. In the Yerushalmi there tells the story of Artavan, who was not Jewish, and Artavan sent a message to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Artavan initially sent a precious gem to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And he sent the message, you should send me back something in return for the favor. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh sent him back a mezuzah. He said, Lashon Yerushalmi, An shalach shalchis lach, An shalchis lach milsa de lesba timi, v'an shalchis le milsa de tava tular. You send me something that requires me to keep it, I'm sending you something that's going to keep you. So he said, I give you something better. You send me something that I have to keep, and I'm giving you something that keeps you. So unsolicited, Rabbi sent this Nachri a mezuzah. So the Be'er Sheva thinks at first glance that sounds like there are certain circumstances where you could send the Nachri a mezuzah. Maybe there's no Isser. And then he says, maybe there's no raya from there, that maybe Rabbeinu HaKadosh viewed this Artavan as one of the ma'aminim b'yichud Hashem, that he identified it as someone who believed in the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'dei lehamshich libo lehamin b'yichud Hashem, and he sent him this present to encourage his emuna, v'yegayir atzmo, and to encourage him to be megayir. So he sent him this mezuzah because he knew this guy was on the right path, that he was a mamin, and he wanted to encourage his emunah and urge him on the path towards Geirus, which is interesting. Be'er Sheva seems to be insinuating that Rebbe was promoting Geirus, at least in this case. Yes, some marmakomos like that, like the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Vayelech, in the Parsha of Hakel, that says, V'gercha, Ibn Ezra writes, "La yisyahed." Who's a ger? So most of the mafarshim learn ger as a ger toshav. So he says, "Any ger, la yisyahed." So maybe they'll be so inspired by Hakel that they'll want to convert. Okay. Anyway, the Be'er Sheva suggests that maybe you can't learn anything from Rebbe. Yeah.
Does mean that you should become a ger toshav?
Ulai Yiskei Hate doesn't sound like that.
No, that's an answer, of course.
Right, no, the other Rishonim
say
you.
No, I'm saying the Be'er Sheva. Right. He says, so they should.
The Yigai Yerasmo?
No, let's take our math and verse both. Mezuzah is Mezayah's Emunah.
Right, that's what he's saying. Right.
And he has Emunah already. It's Mezayah's Emunah, they should do a Kabbalah.
Right, but the Be'er Sheva says.
We don't have to bring him on the very, very Chodesh idea that we
that
was
that
was the
Geir's Shlomo. Well, that's what the Beir Shabbos. I don't think the Geir also means he should come to Geir Toshav.
It requires Kabbalah based.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't. I mean, okay, maybe. I don't think that's a simple understanding of what you're saying. Okay.
Are there other mamzerim in halacha that we would try to be desires are going to be in the sky?
And if we know some, yeah, I'll put your Meiri in a few minutes. Whether that's halach or not, I can't tell you, but I can at least quote a Meiri. So the Beir Shabbos says, number one, that he identified him as a mammon, and he was encouraging him to increase his emunah. And then he says that maybe the Yisr only applies to an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. The Rebbe identified Artavan as a non-Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and the Yisr only applies to an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. So those Terutzim would give you more of a reason to allow a prospective Ger to put up a mezuzah. Presumably he's not an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and he's on the path to Geirus no worse than this Artavan was. But even the Be'er Sheva acknowledges at the end that L'Halacha, our Gemara is pretty clear that we would not allow a non-Jew to put up a mezuzah, and L'Halacha, he's not willing to go too far with this Yerushalmi. Yeah?
Is it possible to say that a guy who is
Yeah, you can make that argument. It would be a little bit difficult because the Kiddush of Tara is something that's, I think, inherent. Right, that absent the Kiddush of Yisrael, the Pasha is probably not. There are other ways out of the Yerushalmi also. The Netziv has on the Sheoltos in Parsha Sekev, the Netziv has an interesting suggestion that the mezuzah that Rebbe sent to Artavan wasn't written L'Shem Kedusha's mezuzah. That if you write something L'Shem Kedusha's mezuzah, you can't give it to a guy under any circumstances. But this was written not L'Shem Kedusha's mezuzah. All along the same lines, the Shol Emeshev in his Hagos and Shulchan Aruch, called the Yad Shol, he says it's written as a Kamiyah. So if it's written L'Shem Kedusha's mezuzah, nothing to it. If it's written for a Kamiyah or not L'Shem Kedusha's mezuzah, then you can give it. So you're going to ask me that doesn't take into consideration the Gemara Menachos, that no one's going to know what it was written for if you see it on the door, and the Jew's going to go in thinking that it's Jew and going to get killed. Okay. But the Rishabi's not concerned about it. Yeah.
Also the Lashon that when the Hebrew being sent it back to him, this is going to be Misham Re'u. So
right.
If it's Kamiya, then I hear, but if
right.
It's just sound,
right. So good aura, unless the Parshios themselves, even Al Hashem Kedushas Mezuzah, have some element of Shmira involved, maybe. Halach Lamaisa, I think we. I'm sorry?
So if there's no Kedushas Mezuzah, there would still be an issue of Bidayah?
If there's no Kedushas Mezuzah, it depends what it means that there's no Kedushas Mezuzah. If there's still Parshios of the Torah, presumably there's still at least Ton Geniza, so there would still be an issue of Bidayah. I mean, it could be the Yerushalmi Scholak and the Bavli on some level, I don't know. At least that story. As a practical matter, generally, we do not advise prospective Gerim to put in mezuzahs, for many of the reasons that we just said. And Tefillin also, there are different practices as to whether to allow a Nachi to put on Tefillin or Shechter, things that you should not, even if he's at the late stages of a Geirus process based on this Vadvaz. But there are different practices as far as that goes. One of the other major issues that comes up in the context of people in the process towards Geirus is how do you navigate the issue of Talmud Torah for a Nachri? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and Daphne and Tess that Akum Sha'osik B'Torah is Chayim Misa. Torah Sivalanim Marasha, Alon Marasha V'Lalahem. That seems pretty unambiguous, that there's an issue for a Nachri to learn Torah. And then the Gemara in Chagiga says that Ein Moser in Divrei Torah L'Akum, based on the Pasuk of Lo'asachein L'Goyim B'Shvetim Ba'idom. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a guy is not allowed to learn Torah on pain of death, and the Gemara in Chagiga says you're not allowed to teach Torah to Nachri, in most in Torah Nachri. So Tosas here points out in Chagiga that the Rabusa, the Gemara in Chagiga, is that if you only the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's an issa for a guy to learn Torah. And then presumably, if a Jew teaches him Torah, there's Lifna Iver on some level. And the Gemara Chagiga is telling you, even in a situation in which you can get out of Lifnei Iver, let's say it's Chadav or Denara, for whatever technicality, Lifnei Iver doesn't apply, but there's still an Isser being Moser Divrei Torah la'akam. Different girsos in the Gemara Chagiga, Emos in the Devei Torah, Sisrei Torah, so some of the Rishonim who have the girsos of Sisrei Torah, that just may be more limited and not refer to Talmud Torah in every single aspect. Okay. Some Achronim suggest, and there may be a basis for this in Rishonim, the Nesif, for example, in Meshav Davar, Chelik Beis, Siman Ayin Zayin has a suggestion that maybe the Yisr of Talmud Torah L'Nachri only applies to Torah Sheba'al Peh, not to Torah Sheba'chav. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua wrote the Torah B'Shiv and Lashon, so that would seem to indicate that the Goyim have a Shaykhus to Torah Sheba'chav, maybe the Yisr doesn't apply. Other Achronim are Mefakpik on these Rayas, Rav Avadia has a lengthy tshuva in Yabi Omer, Chelik Beis, Yerodea, Siman Yud Zayin, Beis Yud Zayin, in which he takes issue with the Nesiv and others. but you do have that suggestion among some that maybe there's a difference between Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh, the Gemara Gittin Daf Samech, represents the relationship between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Torah Shabbat Sav is more accessible. So you do have that suggestion. There's an interesting Me'iri, interesting for a number of points, in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes and the Sugya there. Everyone quotes the Maharsha as being the unambiguous Mar Malkam to allow teaching Torah to a candidate for Geirus. The Me'iri says many of the same things in perhaps more interesting fashion. We'll start with the Me'iri and then we'll look at the Maharsha. The Me'iri writes, so first of all, he's talking about in general that you're allowed to have Nachrim perform mitzvahs voluntarily. And then he writes, V'chein adinim asak b'torah shelo l'kavanas kiyam ikari mitzvaseha, that if a Nachri wants to learn Torah, not for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvos, ela sheliba chafetz leirei lidias tarasenu v'talmudenu, but because he wants to know all the inner workings of the Torah, so that's royally yanish. He should be punished that if a guy wants to learn Torah to understand the inner workings of Torah, that's not allowed. Why? So he doesn't say, meaning Pashup Shah probably in Torah Siva Lena Moshe Marasha, is that this is representative of the relationship between Kosh Baruch and Klai, so this is our special present. And maybe he says more than that, or differently. Maybe he says, Nimnei Shavinei Adam Svurim Alav Shehu Mishalanu. If this guy's going to learn Torah all day, people are going to think he's Jewish. Mitoch Sharoino Sayodeya, they'll see that he's learning and he knows his stuff. And they're going to make mistakes on the basis of thinking that he's Jewish. Kind of like the Gemara Menachos by Tzitzis, the consideration by Mezuzah. This guy knows Shas Bal Peh, they'll think he's Jewish and he's going to kill you because he's really a guy. Or something along those lines. That's interesting. And then he says, Mikal Makom, Kol Shu Osik Bikari Sheva Mitzvah Superpatein, V'mashiyosim, and they're allowed to learn Sheva Mitzvos. And that person, Mechabden Osofil Kekoin God, will give him all the covenant in the world. She'ain Kan Chashash Lita Sachar, we're not going to make mistakes and think that he's Jewish. Shreyaf B'Shelo Osik, he's learning Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. And then he says, V'kol Shekein Im Chakirosan Aldas Lavo Atachl Shlemus Tarasenu. That if his interest is to understand the Shlemus of the Torah, to the point that if he understands the Torah and understands its completeness, then he's going to be Megayer. That's okay. So the Miri seems pretty explicit that if Nochi wants to learn Torah, Almanas to be Megayer, or even if that's not his active thought, but he wants to understand the Torah, and based on that understanding, he may be led to be Megayer. And that's okay. In the footnote in the Iri, he references a Medrash Rabba in Parshas Noso, Yud Gimel Tesayin. It took me a while to find it because the some of the Simanim are off, but it's Yud Gimel Tesayin and the new fancy ones they have in the right place. So the Medrash there says, Asher Yesel Sam Hadam B'chai Behem Kohanim Leviv Yisraelim Lo Nemar El Hadam. So the prerogative to learn Torah and live by Torah is not limited to Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. It says, any man, I feel a goy, I'm a skyer, the Osi B'Torah Rei Kohen Gadol. even a goy hamisgayer. So in the there's a new sefer that just came out called Toldos Noach, I think. 800-page sefer on Hilchos B'nei Noach. So he says there that other midrashim have a slightly different language, but the Medrash Rabbi said hamisgayer is something the person who was in the process of being a geyer, not a ger. I think the Tanchuma may have a ger. He says afilu goy hamisgayer in the process. He's not converted yet, but he's in the process of being a geyer. And he engages in Talmud Torah, Harehu Kikohen Gadol.
The deal doesn't have to be, right?
It could be Goy Hamiskayer.
Goy Hamiskayer.
After he's Megayer.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be
right.
It
could be right. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. But in the Marashah, which is a Marmakov note here, is in the Gemara in Shabbos Amin Aleph, the story of Hillel. The guy comes to Hillel and says, "Gairini Amenashe Kohen Gadol," and Hillel tells him to read some chumash first, and then he gets to the pasuk Zarek Korav Yimas, and he realizes that it's not quite what he's bargaining for. So the Marsha there says, "So it can't be that he was Megayim right away, because." Who's waiting for him to find out that the Zara Karev Yumas. So Masvi Pshat was that he was Mekabel, Hillel is Mekabel to be Megayer him at the right time. And then the Marsha says, MK, and how did he teach him Torah if he wasn't Megayer him yet? And he punched him down the Megayer him on the spot. So no issue. But the Marsha says, that can't be. So he's Mekabel that he would be Megayer him at the right time. So how do you teach him Torah? Akim Shah also be Torah Chayim. So the Marsha says, that since he's coming with Geyer, then it's mutter to teach him Torah. Since that's his interest is in being a Geyer, and that kind of a person you're allowed to teach Torah to. So there's a Chuba Subi Kiveger, Kama Simim Mem Aleph, who quotes this Marsha. Kiveger is addressing a question of someone who is interested in being a Geyer, but can't do it yet because he's living in a country where Geyrus is prohibited by law. As was the case in all of Europe except for Amsterdam until well into the 19th century. In fact, if you look in the... someone did a nice study on the Pinkus of the London Besdin from 1800 to 1805 to 1855, and he writes there that conversion to Judaism was prohibited by law in England during those years. The only two cases that the London Besdin was Megayer people were, number one, if they had a Jewish father, so then arguably by Dina de Malchusa they're considered Jewish, and if they had someone that they thought was a suitable candidate for Geirus, but they weren't comfortable being Megayer them, they'd send them to Amsterdam, where Geirus was legal, and then the Amsterdam Besdin would be Megayer them, but the London Besdin didn't trust the Amsterdam Besdin, so they went back to London and Megayer them again, but at least up to Dina de Malchusa they're already Jewish, so they weren't violating the law. So the Rav Kiveger is talking about someone who wants to be a guy, but he can't do it because he's in a country where it's prohibitive, so he wants to go to Amsterdam or whatever it may be, and he can't get there yet, so he allows to teach him Torah in the interim. So he quotes the Marsha, and he's not so convinced that the Marsha's argument is correct, and then he concludes, Ein b'kochi lahatir, that I can't, I'm not comfortable with being matir. So traditionally, the Marsha is understood to mean that it's not so... Sorry, the Rebbe Kiveger is understood to mean that it's not so pashut that just because someone's in the process of being Megayer and learning about proper observance, are you allowed to teach him Torah? Rebbe Moshe has a tshuva. Igros Moshe Chela Gimel Yoredeya Simen Sadi. Yoredeya Gimel Simen Sadi. So Moshe thinks that, no, if you read the Rebbe Kiveger carefully, Rebbe Kiveger is talking specifically about a case where it's not shaykh to be Megayer him now anyway. That he would agree to the Marsha in a case where he's holding by being Megayer, he needs to learn what he needs to learn in order to be properly observant once he's Megayer. He's only arguing in a case where the Geirus isn't on the horizon yet. And then the Marsha would allow even in that case, as long as there's a plan, somewhere down the road he's going to be Megayer, then you're allowed to teach him Torah. So they still argue. But Ramosha transposes the machlokas a step further than we would otherwise necessarily understand. So the Munkacha, Minchas Lazer, Chelik Dalid, Simin Samach Gimel, has a tshuva in which he says that obviously you have to teach someone who's coming to be Megayer the halacha that he needs to know in order to live a proper observant lifestyle. You need to teach him Siddur, you need to teach him the basics, because you're going to Megayer him, you're over and lift Ne'iver, if he's going to be Mechal Shabbos or going to be over Averis and not be able to daven properly the second you Megayer him. And that the Rebbe Kiviger notwithstanding, Rav Moshe limits the application of the Rebbe Kiviger, but it's definitely common practice to allow for people in the process of Geiris to at least learn those elements of halachas that are relevant to them, so that they'll be able to be properly observant once they are Megayer. Okay. The other major issue that comes up, the Kfar Dosh Rabbi, I'm not going to really talk about it now, but obviously Gaisha Shavas Chayimisa, the Gemara Nun Ches and Sanhedrin. So if someone's in the process of Geiris, is there latitude to allow for them to be fully Shomer Shabbos? So I think the classic approach is to tell some of these situations to be Mechal Shabbos with one Malacha, in order to avoid full Shmir Shabbos. Not everyone is in agreement with that. There's a whole literature about the Mal Shel HaTavol, that what's the status of a person who already underwent Mila and he didn't yet undergo Tefillah. Is he considered a Yisrael on some level, or is he a Goy Gomer? That was the whole Pulmus that happened in 1848. There were two famous Geirim in Yerushalayim in 1848. There was Warder Cresson, who was an American evangelical, they didn't call them evangelicals back then, who had procured a appointment as the American consul in Jerusalem from Secretary of State John Calhoun. And then he went to Yerushalayim, and he over time became drawn to Judaism, and he converted. He came back to America to close up his estate. He was sued for lunacy in Pennsylvania. He won the lawsuit on appeal. He went back to Eretz Yisrael and lived happily ever after. The other famous guy was this Moroccan guy who was the famous Malvel HaTavol, who had a Mila and then hadn't sufficiently recovered by Shabbos to have the Tefillah done. So he was holding on Shabbos as a Malvel HaTavol. Shmuel Salant was out of town on a fundraising mission to Europe. And as always happens, when the senior rabbi is away, the assistant has all the good shilas. So Rav Asher Lemel, who was one of the Dayanim, found out that this Malvel HaTavol was hanging out there, and he told him he has to be Mechal Shabbos. So that created a whole uproar afterwards. Not really so. So the Binyan Sina has a tshuva in Simen Kuf Kavav, in which he suggests that no, Malvel HaTavol is Yasa Mechal Akum Mechal Yisrael Labas. So he's not a full-fledged guy, not a full-fledged Jew, but he's actually Mechuyev to keep Shabbos, just like Klai Yisrael and Mara Mechuyev to keep Shabbos. Some say they weren't yet didn't yet have the Mamet or Sinai experience, but they already had Mila. So he has that notion of Malvel HaTavol. The Minchas Elazar in Simen Gimel in Chela Gimel Simen Ches says the same thing in terms of Kfuras Yisrael. Now, you can't bury a Nochi with Kfuras Yisrael, but if you have a Malvel HaTavol, so then he's Yasim Mechal Achim Mechal Yisrael Labas, so maybe you could bury him Bericho Ches Amos. He's not sure about that. But on the basis of this, some claim that even someone who's in the process of converting could keep Shabbos fully, even if he's not a mal, but he's on the way. Gedalia Dov Schwartz, the Abbezdin, is of this opinion. There's a Hafla that says that maybe the Isser by Akum is only by the Umas Olam, we assume that Laila Halacha Chayom. So there's not. If you keep our Shabbos, that's okay because you don't have a day-night unit that's full 24 hours of Shvisa. The other way out of it also, you can take a look. Rabbi Bleich has an English article in one of the volumes of Contemporary Halachic Problems, who quotes all the relevant Marmakamos. But that's an issue that comes up. And the other major issue that comes up to conclude is, what do you do if you want to invite a candidate for Geirus to a Yontif meal? Right, the Gemara in Beis Nedav Kaf Aleph tells us that you're not allowed to be Mazmin or Nachri to a Sudas Yontif Shema Yarba Bishvilo. That you might come to cook for the Nachri, and that would be obviously Yasser. So that first glance creates a major problem. How do you invite a Geirus candidate to a Yontif meal? So it could be some major problem. There's no way out of it. The Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva in Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Yud Ches, in which he talks about a Jewish hotel proprietor with non-Jewish kitchen staff. So you have a Jewish hotel, there are non-Jews in the kitchen, are you allowed to have non-Jews stay in your Jewish hotel over Yontif? So he says, as long as the non-Jews are all doing the cooking in the kitchen, and there's no Jew that has any shaychus in the kitchen, so that'll be okay. What's the cheshbon? That even if he's going to add more to the same pot for the guy, so marbi b'shir mitzinisa d'rabbanon in this case. Amir Lachim is also an issur d'rabbanan. So you have a shvus to shvus b'makom eva, where if you say no goyim allowed, so that's reverse anti-Semitism, and get in trouble for that. So you can't do that. So he thinks he could be making on the basis. Rav Shaker says along the same lines: if you had a let's say in your own kitchen, you have non-Jews that take care of the kitchen. The Jewish homeowner doesn't walk into the kitchen on Yontif, the non-Jews do all the cooking, so in that case you could also invite a non-Jew to a meal. So the solution, according to this, to properly host a gay risk candidate for Yontif is to invite them to a hotel. I saw this sefer by this Rabbi Gabriel Krauss of Manchester. I saw a suggestion elsewhere in the name of Rabbi Yashiv, but he gives you a whole madrach how to do this. And another way out of the problem is to invite the you want to have a nochri for a meal over Yontif. Tell him to come to your house before Yontif, figure out what you're going to serve him, be machnit to him with all the kinyanim of Bechira Chametz or wherever your machnit is going to go. You'll be machnit to him his mana. You'll put it aside. And then Kai Yantiv, he comes to the meal, you'll give him his mana that he already acquired before Yantiv, and you can't heat it up, so he'll have his cold portion, or maybe everyone will have cold cuts for that meal. That's his suggestion how to get out of this problem. Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz has a very novel kula that he tells people on the basis of this binyan siyan, that just like Mavla Tavel is Yatsim Uchlal Hakim, so anyone who's already on the process of conversion on some level is Yatsim Uchlal Hakim, and you can be Mekel both for Shmir Shabbos, you can be Mekel for Asmana, for Yantiv meals.
You can cook for him?
You can't cook for him. But in as much as it was only Yigzera Shema Yarbi Bishvila, so that far.
There's much less of a Kiddush than Shmir Shabbos. This is much smaller Kiddush than
Shmir Shabbos. It's a smaller Kiddush than Shmir Shabbos, correct. But he said, for Kruis, you saw also we had a case of this. This Nachri, who was very far along in the conversion process, he was ready to convert, but he was still civilly married to someone he was in the process of getting divorced from. They weren't living together for a while, but the civil divorce was dragging on. So we're not going to regard someone who's civilly married to a Nachri, so he was just waiting, and then he died before the civil divorce came through. So Schwartz is matir burying him the Kruis Yisrael B'richu Chesamos based on this Minchas Alazar. Shaker has a chiddush that we're supposed to teach them siddur, supposed to teach them how to daven. It's a sefer chassidim that says you can't teach an achri a lashon hakodesh. It means lashon, you can't teach a galach lashon hakodesh. For these purposes, we're generally mekel. We teach them brachos also. So Shaker thinks that you can't say birchas hamitzvah because it's not true. You can't say mitzivanu. So you teach them everything else, but you can't allow them to say Berachas HaMitzvah. Okay.